Welcome to The Rachel Peterson Show, the place where we dissect social media strategies entrepreneurs are using to build their brand, go viral, and make a massive impact. Let's dive on in.
Welcome to The Rachel Peterson Show. I am your host, Rachel Peterson. This is episode zero, We All Start Somewhere. To give you a little bit of insight into who I am, I'm a social media strategist who has won awards. My work has gone completely viral globally. My social media work has been featured in Huffington Post, Glamour Magazine, Daily Mail, Today Show, and about 30 other major publications. My clientele is full of really fun and exciting clients. I love them to pieces. And that includes household brands, celebrity performers, reality TV stars, and guests, as well as online marketing influencers. I still can't even believe my amazing clients. Pinch me, please. And I also founded an online university for social media managers to understand exactly what it is that I do, and for them to be able to figure out how to replicate that type of work in their lives, to become fully booked, to finally leave their 9-to-5, or maybe just to secure another client so that they're able to find financial freedom. But I have to be honest with you, my life really didn't always look like this. It sounds incredibly glamorous. It sounds like a ton of fun. But would you believe that all of this has just happened over the last year? Yep, I started my business in November of last year. So it's been about a year and a month by the time we're recording this. And I still sometimes am blown away by how quickly everything has happened. It's taken a ton of hard work. It's taken a ton of dedication, obsessing over my craft, really, really focusing on what my end goals are. And we're going to be taking a look at what that looks like in this intro episode so you can kind of understand exactly what those thought processes are, what they have been, how they've transformed over this past year, and how I've discovered that really and truly anything is possible if you set your mind to it and you never for a second give up. So I mentioned that a year ago is when I started this adventure of being an online marketer, of jumping into social media in a serious way. But what I didn't mention was that just 5 years ago, I was actually working full-time as a hairstylist in Minneapolis. The purpose of this intro episode is so that you can understand what you can expect from me, what you will not be hearing on this podcast, and to give you a glimpse into my personality and the type of energy that I bring to everything that I do. So if you like this episode, just wait, because when you get me around other people, there are going to be some good laughs. So here's what you can always expect from me. I'm going to ask questions that are a little bit tough. I'm going to ask people to be real and talk about some of the struggles that they've had along the way. You can also expect that I'm going to be asking influencers and entrepreneurs to share the social media strategies that help them to get where they are today, what they've learned, what they haven't liked, what they have found great success with. So here's what you can expect to not find on my podcast. First and foremost, there's not going to be swearing on my podcast. That might sound a little bit crazy, but I'm a mom of two kids, and I realistically know that sometimes when I'm listening to podcasts in the car, the worst feeling in the world is to listen to a clean podcast and then to suddenly out of nowhere hear an F-bomb being dropped. And before I know it, my six-year-old is asking me what that means. So whether or not you swear, that's totally fine. I'm going to be keeping this podcast clean of all swear words so that that way you don't ever have to worry about who is listening. That being said, I have some incredible guest lineup who absolutely love the F word. So there will be editing on every single podcast just to keep it PG. Moms and dads, I've got your back. Another thing that you will never find on this podcast is bashing of any other entrepreneurs. Sorry, but this is a no negativity zone. And lastly, I can promise you that you're not going to find fluff. I absolutely hate small talk. We aren't going to be talking about the weather. I'm sorry, but there's no chat about what you're drinking that day. It's going to be talking about strategies, fears, dreams, hopes, social media, etc. So those types of things are what we're going to be focusing on. I just don't like fluff, so you can expect me to keep it out of my podcast. Does that sound like a plan? All right, Stan. Now, before we get to the really fun part of my story, which has been the last year, this incredible roller coaster, rocket ship, whatever you want to call it, that has been my business, you kind of have to go back a little bit further than that. And I want to start about 5 years ago. 5 years ago, I was actually a single mom to my daughter, Dakota, who, by the way, is incredibly awesome. Someday I would love to have her on this podcast. She's a spitfire, so watch out. But I was a single mom and I was going to school to become a hairstylist. Now, at that time, life looked significantly different. I can't even express how differently life looked. I was renting one bedroom and we shared that bedroom together. We had our bed and our crib right next to each other. Like I said, I was a single mom. I was attending beauty school in Minneapolis. And at that time, it felt like beauty school was my golden ticket to a future that would finally provide for my daughter in the way that I wanted it to. Now, I didn't have a degree. I had gone to college for a couple of years. I was in business school, but not seriously. I didn't do very well in college, and I ended up leaving college after about 2 years. So at this point, I'm a single mom, no degree, no formal skills, and I really didn't see a way to finish school or to find a career that would pay enough so that someday we'd be able to afford just a better lifestyle. So as I'm going to beauty school, we have very, very little money. And I mean, we literally had maybe a $200 a month allowance from welfare, a $400 a month grocery allotment, which was an incredible blessing at that time. I had no car, so I was taking a bus to and from school every single day. And that bus had several different connections. So the bus ride to school was about an hour and a half long, sometimes an hour and 45 minutes, depending on what the weather and traffic looked like. Same on the way back. We didn't have a car to get to the grocery store. So I would take my daughter and pack her up in the stroller. We would actually walk to the grocery store, fill up the stroller with as many groceries as we could for the $400 allotment, and then we would walk back home and unpack our groceries. Now, don't get me wrong. It was a really, really good part of our lives. It was truly a struggle that I, at this point in life, can't even believe that I made it through. One of the things that is really important to me in life is actually journaling. So no matter what phase of life I'm in, I've always kept a journal since I was about 11 years old, consistently since I was 13. And so I'm able to look back at all of these years of journals and see kind of the thought progression and the different scenarios and challenges that I've faced in those different seasons of life. And as I read back on those journals, it didn't feel like there was necessarily a light at the end of the tunnel, but the closest thing I had to it was beauty school. And in my mind, beauty school was going to be the thing that provided this amazing lifestyle for us. I had seen some different hairstylists who worked at the top salons throughout Minneapolis, and they were making close to six figures. And to me, that just felt like a fortune. I was also raised in a family where we didn't make a ton of money. My parents worked actually in ministry, and so it didn't pay very well. And so just this idea of scarcity, this idea of never having enough was something I was very accustomed to, but it was something I really didn't want my daughter to grow up with. So while I was in hair school, I would actually spend my weekends going to Goodwill, picking up the absolute nicest black shirts that I could find for 50 cents or a dollar. And to me, that was my way of presenting myself as a professional. It really felt like a fake it until you make it scenario. I couldn't afford to get my hair done. So it, obviously having your hair done in the hair industry is really important. So I did my hair at home in my bathroom. I looked the absolute best I could, and then I started to interview at these top salons. And when I finally got an interview at the top salon in Minnesota, I felt like my entire life was set. Literally, I kid you not. I just imagined that everything was going to open, the floodgates were going to be pouring out, that we would be making so much money, that it would just be a lifestyle of not worrying and really no stress. So I finally got the job at this top salon. And one of the things that I did from the very beginning is I built a really, really intensely strong relationship with every single one of my clients. Every client that sat in my chair felt like they were the only client on my books. I wrote them letters. I wrote them birthday cards. I followed up with them with a text or an email. And I just stayed really closely in touch with every single one of my clients. But another thing that I did, and at the time I had no idea that this was social media marketing, but I started really posting my photos of the work that I had done on hair on Instagram, on Facebook. I started tagging people, doing before and afters. Like I said, I didn't even know that social media marketing was really a thing. I just knew that if I put pictures out there, all of a sudden more clients came in because they were inspired by the work that I had produced. About 3 years ago, I got very, very incredibly lucky, or as I will say, so blessed, and I met my husband. He was an amazing man from the moment I met him, and we actually got married very quickly, which is a story for another day, without a doubt. But after I married him, I started to feel like there was a little more security. Now, he wasn't wealthy by any means. He was a window washer, and I was working as a hairstylist who still hadn't built a full clientele with high prices. I wasn't exactly rolling in the dough like I had always pictured I would be. But he definitely gave me a sense of confidence, and I felt like I could do anything. Right around that time, a client came into my salon. Some might call it fate. I call it a blessing. It was definitely meant to be. And she mentioned that her husband owned a company. They needed just a little bit of help with their social media. I agreed to help them, even though I wasn't by any means a social media expert. I just knew a little bit more than they did. And I went to their house, helped them set up Facebook and Twitter. From there, they asked me to continue to work with them on just an hourly basis, a couple hours here, a couple hours there, $15 an hour. It was a small contract, but it felt so big to me at that time. I actually quit my job a couple of months later thinking I could go out in marketing and make this happen myself, but it didn't exactly work like that. I actually realized that I had no safety net. I had no backup plan. I had very little skills, no training, no idea of how to secure more clients. I tried cold calling a bunch of places and realized quickly that I just had no momentum. Nothing was working for me. I was left with an option. I could go back into hairstyling, or I could keep giving this whole social media manager thing a try. Or maybe even option number three, which is just diving into marketing and letting somebody else bring the clients to me. So I started working at a digital marketing agency, and in full disclosure, I still to this day do not understand why they hired me. I had no degree. Like I said, I had very few skills in terms of my areas of expertise with marketing. I knew a little bit about social, I knew a little bit about writing, a little bit about speaking, and I could talk to people on the phone without upsetting people. So this digital marketing agency hired me, and from there, I was able to secure an even better job at a tech company in Minnesota as their marketing manager. While working as a marketing manager at the tech company, which, by the way, was an incredible blessing, and every single person there was just an amazing person to meet, I started to get the entrepreneurial itch for so many different reasons. The biggest reason being, I really wanted to be at home when my daughter started school. I wanted to have the availability to pick her up from school, to drop her off, to be able to be there for field trips, to meet her for lunch if I wanted to. And I just realized that that never was going to happen if I stayed in a 9-to-5. So 1 year and 1 month ago, I hit the ground running. I worked my tail off to secure clients, mostly using LinkedIn. And when I say I hustled, I hustled. I was taking calls on my lunch break. I was sending proposals to and from work. I was talking to people every spare moment I could. I was taking half days and PTO days whenever I could just to keep up the client load. I started really seeing the momentum happening in about February or March of this year. And right around that time, a post that I intentionally wrote to go viral did just that. That post was seen around the world. It was translated into several different languages. This post was one where I wrote it with the intention of going viral, and it completely did. It picked up, it hit on an emotional trigger, and before I knew it, 11.2 million people had seen my post, and that ended up having an incredible trickle-down effect. I was contacted by the Today Show. I had celebrities posting about my story, which was just absolutely unreal to me. And right around that time, something else really powerful happened. I finally secured enough clients to leave my 9-to-5. So I did. 1 to 2 months later, I found myself fully booked, which was kind of a crazy feeling. You know, this was the first time in my entire life where I experienced what it was to actually make a significant amount of money. And not only make a significant amount of money, but working for myself, working with wonderful clients, working from home, it just felt completely unreal. So I created an online university that trained people in on Instagram, LinkedIn, Twitter, all of the different platforms, how to manage them all. But something kind of interesting happened, and to be completely honest with you, I didn't expect this at all. As I launched my university, I discovered that 75% of my students were social media managers, and that actually caught me completely off guard. You see, back in February, I launched a free Facebook group, and I labeled that group Become a Social Media Marketer. And my goal was to really attract a ton of business owners to either become one-on-one clients or to join Social Media University and learn how to manage their own social media. But as I took notice of the group that had joined Social Media University, I realized that they were 75% social media managers, which is something that I did not see, nor expect, nor predict whatsoever. And I started to talk to my mentors at the time and explained exactly what had happened because it completely blindsided me. And they said, "Rachel, don't you realize you created an entire business? You left your 9-to-5. You did something that many people want to do. And now they're looking to you for your expertise so you can teach them how to do the same thing." So in that moment, I made this really fast split decision to completely rebrand everything. I renamed my free group, Become a Social Media Manager, in order to clarify that it wasn't for business owners necessarily. And Social Media University cut out all of the conversation that had to do with business owners and completely switched to Social Media University, the monthly membership that trains social media managers. Now, while all of this is progressing, it is important to note that I still took clients. I was still fully booked. My business was continually growing. And to add to all of that, my husband and I made the decision to bring him home from work in an effort to attempt to kind of launch an online business for him that had to do with e-commerce, which is a pretty funny story. It didn't go very smoothly, aka it completely flopped. But we brought him home from his 9-to-5, and so I was juggling all of these clients. I was juggling Social Media University, and so what is a busy person to do with all of those tasks? Well, of course, take on more. So that is part of the reason for launching this podcast. People have been asking me for more information, to give in-depth insights, to give tips and tricks, to interview influencers, to bring a new perspective to things, to get conversations going that have to do with kind of the backstory. I think so often as entrepreneurs, as influencers, as successful business owners, we sometimes forget about what that story leading up to where we're at today looked like. It's so easy to say, well, you need to create tons of quality content and you need to have all of your content syndicated all the time and you need to be on every single platform and you need to be a machine. But realistically, we all start somewhere. And so I love the idea of being able to bring influencers onto my podcast and to ask them to back up a little bit, to ask them what it was like when they first put that tweet out there to crickets, when they first posted that Instagram image and nobody responded, nobody liked it, nobody commented. And I think it's kind of a cool part of the process to remember that everybody started with something, hence the title of this podcast episode. Something that's a little bit unique about this very first episode, and this isn't necessarily going to be the format for all of the episodes, but I opened up a Q&A to quite a few of my students and members of my free group to ask me questions. If they had me alone, one-on-one, for a coffee date, what would they ask me if there were no holds? If they were to get me one-on-one, just a coffee date, me and them, what kind of questions would they ask? So for this one, I'm going to be doing a quick Q&A where I don't hold anything back. And let me tell you, there are some really good questions in here. So Katie asks, what one or two things do you wish you knew when you were first starting and really growing that you know now? Ooh, I love this question. So one of the things I really wish that I had known was that if I continued to move forward with momentum, if I continued to secure wins, if I continued to just have the end goal in sight, everything would work out. If one client relationship didn't work out, that's okay because there are others that are going to be even stronger. You're going to be working with dream clients. You're going to have just so much fun on this process. So that is one thing I just wish I would have known, that it would all work out and it would end up being a really exciting lifestyle. It would be an amazing career. David asks me, why? As in, what is my why? I absolutely love this question. So initially my why was to get out of my 9-to-5. And then that started to evolve. Over time, I wanted to build a successful business that could get my husband out of his 9-to-5. And then as it started to grow and my university was formed, I realized that more than anything, I wanted to see other people have that same success and really start to have freedom that I found and to kind of build the life that they always wanted to build. And so as that became my why, I started to notice that momentum was growing more quickly. It shifted from a survival mentality to a thriving mentality of helping others. And it's definitely, it shifts on the journey because when you're first starting out, I feel like I said, you're in survival mode. Your oxygen mask isn't necessarily on yet. But once you start to see the light at the end of the tunnel and your oxygen mask is finally on, you can finally look around and see the needs, the desires, the wants of everybody else and start to help others. So there definitely was a shift in my why as I went from survival to thrive. And I'll be honest, I really prefer the why behind thriving. So right now, my biggest focus is helping others to find freedom, to financially be able to afford the lifestyle that they want, to feel empowered as social media managers, and then also to really take care of my clients, to deliver top-notch service, to create incredible, fun, mind-blowing strategies, to amplify their message, and really make sure that it reaches their target market. Leanne asks, what is your favorite part of what you do? Ooh, that's a good one. Right now, my favorite part of what I do is that I'm able to partner with some just incredible clients whose causes range from breaking addiction to changing lives through empowerment. I have clients who specialize in supporting veterans and helping them to find freedom from their stories and from the experiences that they've had. So right now it's finding really impact-driven businesses and then working with them to amplify their message. That has been my absolute favorite part of being a social media manager. Jen asks, is there anything you regret, like a chunk of time that you spent that in hindsight was a waste of time or a big lesson learned? Like what you would say to the earlier version of you on your SMM journey? Yeah, definitely. The biggest thing I would say is don't worry. And I'm not hyped up on just positive mumbo jumbo. I literally mean don't worry because it's not helping any situation. Focus on a solution. Start finding a different way to tackle problems. Stop focusing on what isn't working and find something that does work. That is hands down, the number one piece of advice that I would have for myself looking back. Casey asks, when you think back 5 years ago, where did you picture yourself to be today? 5 years ago, I pictured myself owning a salon, having a whole team of stylists working for me. And realistically, I don't think that would have happened in that time frame. I think that it could have happened maybe 7 to 10 years down the road, but I honestly knew that in some way I would be an entrepreneur. I just didn't exactly know what that itchy feeling to get my own business was. Geraldine asks, what derails you and how do you get back on track? In terms of work, there isn't really anything that derails me, if that makes sense. I really, really enjoy working. It's something that brings me to life. My family and friends might call me obsessed. Working is something that brings me a lot of enjoyment. And it's because I know that I'm building something big. So there isn't really anything that derails me from continuing on in that vision, working hard. The biggest thing that I get derailed from is finding balance with my personal life, which ties into Dean's question. How do you juggle family, kids, clients, personal time, and sleep? Juggle wouldn't necessarily be the right word, because that would indicate that there's a similar amount of time being spent on each of the different compartments of life. So one of the things that I've worked really hard to do over this last year is to really compartmentalize my work. And in a way, it's integrated with my personal life. It's integrated with my personal time. For example, I get a lot of my social media work done while I'm working out on the treadmill. And sometimes I am listening to podcasts while I'm running errands with my kids. But that being said, if I set aside several hours each day for each task that is incredibly important and don't even touch another compartment, it helps me to really focus on that task at hand. So for example, every single night my family has dinner together. We all sit down at the table, whether it's at a restaurant or I'm cooking dinner or lately we're eating some pizza. We sit down, everybody has their phones and computers put completely away, and that's really, really important so that when I am there with my family, we're spending several hours together and it's truly quality time. The reason that that is so important is because if you're halfway doing a bunch of things, you're really effectively not doing anything. So that intentional time is so, so important. And then when I am working, I lock myself in my office and I work for hours with no interruptions. That means no breaks, no phone calls, no anything else. Carlos asks, how do you plan to scale your business? That's a good question. I plan to scale my business by about 10 times next year. I'm really, really looking forward to it. I have really big goals in terms of revenue, in terms of relationships, in terms of opportunities. So one of the things that I'm going to do from the very beginning is to find the right people, bring them onto my team, and then train them in on the skills that I believe that they would be good at. I think more often than not, you find the greatest talent when you're not looking for the skills. You're looking for the person, the personality, the character, the ability to learn. And so I've already started to bring some people onto my team, and they're such rock stars already that I know they're going to be able to handle whatever I throw their way. So I want to find a couple more of those amazing people and then grow all together. And quite possibly my favorite question is by Mitch. And he asks, how did you decide you were good enough? Not just technically marketing skills, but you, Rachel, were good enough for the life that you wanted. And to answer that question, I have to go a little bit deep. It's something I will talk about in a future episode when I host one of my clients. But, you know, to be totally honest, the journey of being a single mom, that was complete survival mode. And for me, a part of that process was just making it through that time of my life. Now, I also want to disclaim, being a single mom is not a terrible thing. Depending on the circumstances, depending on your attitude, you can make whatever you want out of the life you have exactly where you're at. And it all has to do with your mindset, as well as your drive, your ambition, your motivation. And at that time, for me, it just felt like survival. A big coping mechanism that I used, and like I said, I'll talk about it more in a future episode, but I actually became a really, really bad alcoholic. And so that was a coping mechanism that I used over the years up until a year and a half ago. May 21st of 2015, I realized that my drinking was an issue and that it was preventing me from living everything that I hoped and dreamed. It was going to affect my kids. It was starting to affect my marriage. And so I quit alcohol cold turkey on that day. And I've never turned back. Now, over the last year and a half, there's definitely been a process of walking away from shame, starting to feel and believe that I'm worthy. I didn't wake up one day and say, you know, great, I listened to all this positive motivational stuff, and now I'm ready to go. I can take on the world. I can do anything. Oh my goodness, it didn't work like that at all. But I started to say that I could do anything. I started to almost live in some type of alter ego that believed I could do anything. And it wasn't my own thoughts, but as I started to say it, speak it, write it, walk in it, before long, I started to actually believe it. So really the journey over the last year, so 6 months after I quit alcohol, was when I felt like my brain started to clear up. I stopped experiencing, you know, any anxiety or depression that were related to alcohol or were the cause of alcohol. I don't know exactly the cause and effect behind that. But the past year, I spent so much time filling my brain with positivity, knowledge, and then I took action like crazy. And I started to prove myself, at first I started to prove myself wrong. Those doubts that said, I'm not good enough, I'm not talented enough, I'm not smart enough. At first, I was proving those thoughts wrong. And one win led to another. Another win led to an even bigger win. And before you know it, all of these wins started happening and a pattern was being set. I started to get used to winning. And after some time of that pattern, one day I realized I was no longer proving myself wrong. I was setting goals, coming up with ideas and dreams, and then I started proving myself right. If you enjoyed this episode, I want you to go on over to iTunes and give it a review and leave me some feedback so I can see exactly what it is that you learned in this episode. Can you do me that favor? And the show notes are available at rachelpeterson.com/show notes. Until next week, this is The Rachel Peterson Show. Oh my gosh.